tithe. Gay is not sin, and Jesus is not asking the gay person to change, to be straight. That's right, you're not going to find gay as sin in the Bible. I know a lot of you think that it is, but it isn't. 14 verses is what you usually use, and all those 14 verses that you're using is not talking about gay people. People, we're about to hit the tribulation period. This is a 7-year period where life as we know it is going to be radically different. It's been talked about by the church for 2,000 years, and even much longer, going back way in the Old Testament. A time is coming when there's a final judgment on earth. The problem is, when we're going to Sunday school, and when we hear our pastors preach to us, when we go to prophecy rallies and everything, we're hearing a story of something like what's going to happen. But the problem is, we just think we're not going to be there. And it's really hard to understand how you think you're not going to be there. There's not very many verses that talks about something that you might be able to take out of context and say that we're leaving before the trip. It just really isn't. The big verses, like that the dead will rise first and we that remain will be caught up and join the, you know, the Lord in the air. Somehow we get this idea that that these sentences here in Thessalonians are saying we're going to miss the tribulation. But there is not one word in there. It says, unless the lawless one be revealed. Who is this lawless one that they're talking about? It's Antichrist. You have to see Antichrist in power before the rapture. Satan did not spend all of this time preparing a kingdom that's going to be Christian free. Adam was kicked out of the garden. The plan was started back then. But to actually have the characters that were going to produce Antichrist's kingdom, you had to have the flood. Noah had to come out of the ark after the water receded. And then his sons had to repopulate the earth. So there is a bunch of stuff that happened during this time. The Bible says one of Noah's sons sinned. And when we read what sin he committed, we don't particularly think it's so bad, because over somebody's lifetime, you're bound to see your parents' nakedness. Because that's all basically that he saw. There might be a little bit more to that story, but the Bible doesn't give you a lot of detail on it. It's just that this was a no-no in those days. Children are not supposed to see their parents naked at any time. And so anyway, one of his sons became a black sheep, as it were. We don't have a lot of information of the story around what happened as a result of all of this. We have stories of other families that have children that have committed something, making them some sort of black sheep and sort of banned, as it were, from the family, practically. The Bible's not saying this happened in Noah's family. But we have enough other families to see how humans react to problems. And then you have your own individual self. Here, you sinned against God, and now you're terrible. God's forsaken you, and all this kind of stuff. The Bible doesn't say that's what happened. But us, with our own analysis of ourselves, we come to get a picture, you know, well, now we hate God because bad things are happening or whatever. We're good at making things up and begin to believe them. Who knows? Whatever happened is that these people had very intelligent brains. They lived for a very long time, about 1,000 years. Into your 900s is how you live there. None of Noah or his family was of that age. Noah was getting up there pretty good in that age. His sons were already pretty old. But you got to have some idea that they must have had almost photographic memory because they were still in such a perfect form of their bodies. Not much had deteriorated after the garden of a perfect human body, free of disease and genetic problems and stuff like that. And so they retain all the information of before the flood. Now we got information that shows at least we have claims from people that are claiming to trace their roots to the flood, which I call Masons, which is have changed their names over the years, but for a good long period they've been Masons. They go by Freemasons. We like to say Illuminati. We like to put other names in and like to make them maybe preeminent over Masons or something like that. But the whole nine yards of it is these kind of Masons trace their background and whatever kind of power name for the moment, that's what we used to call them. And we're into this now, the Illuminati or something, you know, is the big thing. Well, Masons are just nice little old on the corner fellowship halls for old folk to go there, sit around, have a good time, so forth. This isn't what it is, people. You ain't gonna get good in the organization of Masons. Maybe most of the people that go around sitting in that little club down there, that lodge they call whatever, are just simply getting away from home and talking with the buddies and learning kind of stuff and, you know, trying to elevate if they want to higher levels and stuff. But they pretty much don't know things. Whenever you hear me talking about Mason, I'm not talking about the lowly Mason. Because Masons generally, most Masons are expendable, and they aren't going to be any kind of part of the coming kingdom unless they toe the line like everybody else, and that is to accept Antichrist as God. So when I'm talking about Masons, I'm talking about the elite group, 33rd degree and higher, 32, some 32s could have some extra privileges, but not. It's not that kind of a club. You have to really be on top of the thing. And these are the people that have many claims. And it doesn't matter if it's true or not. When I'm talking about them, I'm not saying that these, what they say, is true. What I'm saying is they apparently believe it, or they are giving us this information so that when people will believe, they believe it. Again, it doesn't particularly matter. What matters is we as Christians have to know about Mason and what their goals are. Their first goal was to reestablish the days of Noah. That means a 1,000-year period that God had to destroy the earth with a flood. They want to bring that period back because they believe it was a wonderful time, a utopia like or something. There is a twofold possibility here, and I'm kind of into the next one, which I'm going to tell you, because I think the time of Adam to the time of the flood, people knew about things. They knew there was a pre-flood. In other words, before Adam and dry land, there was dry land before, and the rest of the solar system. And Satan was given orders, go make something like human beings. And so he went out there and made several kinds. And they populated the solar system. And it was so bad, after a while, at least when God looks down on it and what makes God decides to destroy and cover the earth and flood and all that, and had to be talked out of destroying everybody a number of times after that. Things got going in the universe, which resulted in, now NASA flies up there, take pictures of it, and we see all kinds of destruction. When we look down at the photos, you know, there's, some of them are pretty detailed these days, and you can look at all of these different planets, and when you could get a pattern going on, something happened that kind of messed up some of these planets. Mars, we have a really, really good number of photos on that shows a lot of anomalies that are just astounding. And we now have Google Earth, so we can look at Earth and see formations and things and buildings and stuff. So when we go down and zoom in, we get an idea that you know, maybe these things on Mars was ancient structures. Well, there's something that we got to understand. If the Bible's going to say something, we're going to have to believe it or not. And the Bible says somebody came down out from the sky. Didn't basically say they were in UFOs or spaceships, or if they flew, they had wings or something, or what. It didn't particularly say. It just said they came down. And what do? They had sex with women. And what happened? They were compatible, because guess what? They had babies. And what happened to the babies? They became powerful, intelligent, rulers. Not necessarily good by any means. This we don't get to hear a lot. What happened about these kinds of people? Did they die off and become non-existent, or did they go ahead and have babies themselves? And their babies had babies. Well, Masons, when you get into the elite nitty-gritty of things, have a little tracing of their bloodlines as it is. And they, in the higher echelon, claim the bloodlines go to these beings that came down. Now, we can't just play around and say these beings didn't come down, because God said they did, and God said that they had babies when they got down here. And it didn't say the babies were all wiped out. It said the babies became powerful. So they weren't necessarily good leaders at all. So they were probably dictators. Then the story doesn't talk about them very much anymore in the Bible, but we have various dictators in the world wrecking havoc, taking over countries and so forth and so on. Now today we could do some research and we can find out the claim is that there's a bloodline that goes up until today. Now, there's a problem we have. The Bible says humans can accept Jesus and be forgiven. But can humans mixed with beings that come down? The beings, Satan's creations, all the various ones, which may account for all the things. And there's lots of things that fit in. It doesn't say that a lot of the other stories, it says, oh, there's all these kinds of aliens, 6 or 7 of them or something like that, which seems to be about the number or so that Satan was allowed to create in an attempt to make, as it were, mankind. So, can they be saved? We know we can, but can there's all sorts of stories all around when you look into the why aliens are abducting people and stuff like that. If this is a true thing, then they're trying to interbreed, as it were, so that they can get saved because they know the story and what God is doing and so forth, and they know they do not have eternal life. And so they're trying to do something so they can have that opportunity to have eternal life. That's a pretty major idea about these people that's got backing in the channels that they have. So whatever the reason, if they we like to think that any human being, but what does God say? He says, the tares are sowed amongst God's people. So Satan's people are sowed in, planted in. It's hard. When we go to church and everything, and we listen to that, we just kind of have this idea, got some bad folk out there. And they're the tares that belongs to Satan. They somehow, Christians got a lot of abilities given to them to be able to persuade any human being to come to Christ. Now, in Masondom, we do have people that come out and get saved. Or do they? We don't know. We accept if the person says they're a Christian, we pretty much need to accept that. We don't need to follow them and worship them or whatever, or believe every word out of their mouths or anything, but we have to have the idea or notion that these people are saying they accepted Jesus. And all rules apply, whosoever comes to Jesus and so forth. So we cannot say a person is not a Christian when they're claiming to be a Christian. We can see a lot of their things in their life is really indicative of not being a Christian. However, you can know some things. If a Christian claims to be a high-level Mason, or people know they're a high-level Mason, in the 30 degree and upwards, that they cannot be a Christian. They could have been a Christian, but they would have to reject Christ. Specifically, because you cannot be a higher degree Mason and believe the Bible way, as in you're accepting Jesus as the Son of God. You may believe that Jesus is real and God is real, but you think they are the enemy. And that Lucifer never fell. So you could look at somebody like Billy Graham, and as it apparently looks like millions of people came to Jesus through him. If you look deeper into his life, he's got some very strange bedfellows who he's hanging out with, and then you have the investigators that go out and lay claim that he, and give the evidences of him being a 33rd degree Mason, which he denies. But there is significant information out there that supports Billy Graham being a 33rd degree Mason. So I don't care what you see on TV. I don't care if you see this old precious man out there and you're just thinking that, oh, he's just so wonderful. Look at all the good he did. No, people. Masons are wolves putting on sheep's clothing and coming into the flock so they can devour the sheep. Masons in the United States have set this goal over 80 years ago to infiltrate the church in high places, especially getting household name ministers that are worldwide known, such as Billy Graham. And we're susceptible to our senses. We have our five senses. And if they get touched, no matter how much we want to say by faith, because we don't really know what faith is until The connection is disconnected. The two witnesses are going to say to the rain no more. This is the connection that will be disconnected. Then you will know what living by faith is. Because right now you have this connection. I always like to say it's like a wire. You're plugged into Jesus. So you feel saved. You feel like Jesus is there. You're walking around, I'm saved. It's not baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's just you know you're saved. Because you're plugged in. And you got this extension cord going wherever you go. And it's there. You never ever didn't have it. It was there for 2,000 years. You cannot tell yourself that you can live by faith alone. Because you never have that opportunity. Until the two says, reign no more. That's going to be taken out. Now you have to live only by faith. There's no other way because you don't have any connection. And so, in an instant, all Christians in the world will feel like Jesus forsook them. And so, you've got to get your faith kicking in to bring back, as it were, that feeling, or at least that knowledge that Jesus didn't forsake you, that He still is the person that promised all these things to you. And he's still who he said he is. Too many of you aren't going to believe that because you're going to believe your senses. And that's what the attack is on our senses. We believe what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and all that kind of stuff. There are three sets of days, 1260, 1335, and 1290. This is the tribulation period. The tribulation period starts when the two witnesses say, turn off that water. 1260 days later, Antichrist kills them. But Antichrist is not in power. You have to go to the end of the trib, tack on 1290 days. That means it'll go 30 days into the first half of the tribulation. The world gives Antichrist power 1230 days after the trib starts. It takes those 30 days for Antichrist to kill the two witnesses. The church is alive. They didn't get raptured. The rapture hadn't taken place. The Bible does not say the rapture takes place until Revelation 11. Then it says, just as the seventh trumpet is being blown, that's when you go and Jesus gives you your reward when you meet Jesus in the air. But the only thing that's going to happen in 1260 days is the two witnesses are going to raise from the dead. I'm kind of thinking that the dead in Christ up to that day will rise at that same moment. So there's that's a one rising of the dead. The last that needs to die before the rapture are the two witnesses. After the two witnesses die, nobody else needs to die. The rapture can take place. So all the dead in Christ, because Revelation 20 says there's two risings of the dead. The dead in Christ and the dead not in Christ. And so, 1335 days, that's 75 days more. There's a blank period of time there, the window of the rapture of 75 days. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day. Come into my life and save me. Simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Bible. And get ready, people. I'll talk more on the tribulation next week. See you next week.